Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in to our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, guys. Joe, I'm happy your guy was all right with everything that went on at Michigan State. And Robbie, congratulations on your big news.
Thank you very much, PK.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Appreciate you saying that. So, PK, first off, I want to start with your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Kansas City winning it, Patrick Mahomes' second title, Andy Reid his second title. How does that win and the second Super Bowl, I guess, influence the way that you view Mahomes, view Andy Reid, and their legacy moving forward, with Mahomes being only 27?
Well, you've got to get the second one for the legacy stuff for both the coach and the quarterback. So I know everybody thought that was inevitable, but still needs to happen. So big for them that they got it. Also in a copycat league, interestingly, in a copycat league, I think it actually kind of does a little bit more for the Eagles side, saying that you can find a quarterback like Hurts, which is obviously more easily done than finding a generational guy like Mahomes. Surround him with a great offensive line, a couple tremendous receivers, and a pass rush, which obviously wasn't effective in this game, but compete at the highest level and be right there. And so there's hope and there's a model if you can't find this extraordinary quarterback, which is the long shot route, right? I mean, there are only a couple of them, and your odds of finding one are slim. And so I thought, actually, from the copycat angle, Philadelphia provided hope out of this season that there is a model for getting there and winning, even though they didn't win, for getting there and you know, being in it. That doesn't mean you have to find a Patrick Mahomes.
No, I agree. I've heard some, you know, some sort of reaction which along the lines of, see, you got to have that guy. But I think the Eagles, I understand they lost this game, but they easily could have won this game, right? I mean, I think the Eagles season is absolutely a strong, I think, confirmation that you can do it different ways. I would also say, though, PK, I don't know about you, but Jalen Hurts just on his own as a player is way better than I thought he'd be, and he may be moving up. I don't want to be prisoner to that game. Maybe that was one amazing performance, but I actually thought he was the better quarterback in that game for a lot of the game.
And he had an extraordinary season. And look, this doesn't make a case for Malik Willis by any means, because Malik Willis's rookie performance didn't match Jalen Hurts's rookie performance by any means. But Jalen Hurts wasn't very good in his first year. I mean, his passer rating was in the low 70s. His completion percentage was poor. But I think if you get a guy like Jalen Hurts, who's got the running ability, who you think can develop as a thrower, and you put him in an offensive system where you're confident you can develop him, I think they've gotten more out of him than they could have reasonably expected. And so you take a risk there and you come out ahead. I still think, he and Josh Allen, guys who have gotten more accurate, are the exception, a big exception, but it can happen. But I think more broadly speaking, not just on the accuracy, but if you find the right guy with the right temperament and bring him in to work with the right people, there is some hope there. I also think a guy like Jalen Hurts makes it less and less likely that a guy like Jalen Hurts lasts to the second round anymore.
PK, there's a lot of chatter right now about Derek Carr. And I know Rappaport put it out there that the Titans are, I think, among the teams that could be interested in Derek Carr. I mean, the Derek Carr part of it, to me personally, just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Titans. What do you make of the conversation around Derek Carr and how involved the Titans may or may not be in that pursuit right now?
Well, first off, let's start with how you worded it. The Titans are a team that is expected to be interested. That's an agent putting out a list of teams.
Right.
Everyone out there that can hear this, everyone out there that can read Joe and me, discern that. Everybody on Twitter just leaves that whole part out. Is a team that is expected to be interested, they just chop out all those words and they go, the Titans are interested in Derek Carr. And all these fans on Twitter with a little bit of a megaphone turn it into the Titans are interested in Carr. Those are not the same things. And I don't think the Titans are interested in Carr. I don't think Carr is necessarily an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill. He's different, and everybody wants different. And so you could fill hours of talk radio with that and tons of blog entries with that. But think about it. First off, if you do the money, at the very best, you're going to come out about the same this year. So you swap out quarterbacks, you get a guy with a better arm, but who's not as good at some other things, and who, quite frankly, is underachieved with a better cast of characters around him, who's thrown to some really good receivers and had some really average results. And you basically traded out Tannehill for Carr, who are, roughly the same quarterback with, slightly different skill sets. If the Titans are going to change quarterback, I can't see that they're going to do it for that. To me, if they're going to change quarterback, they're going to draft a young guy and get on a rookie contract and try to develop somebody. Or maybe they'd go giant for Aaron Rodgers, which I don't see happening. They're not going to do it for Derek Carr. I don't believe that.
Or maybe, according to your friend who thought I said they were going to draft Hendon Hooker at 11, draft Hendon Hooker at 11.
You did, in fact, say something about, like, at 11 they could do this, 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 and Hendon Hooker would be there for them.
Right, and then I said a whole bunch of other stuff that your friend didn't failed to listen to and just sent you a four-second clip. So tell him or her to get his or her crap together.
Well, get it on the record now that there's zero chance they take Hendon Hooker at 11.
Yes, in that same segment, Hendon Hooker is a second or third round pick. I mean, I've compared him to Kirk Cousins because I do think that Hendon Hooker, I'm intrigued by him as an NFL quarterback with his accuracy, his intangibles, but no, he's absolutely not going in the first round.
Here's what I'm not intrigued by. The Titans drafting another guy who's got to sit around for a while and rehab stuff. I'm interested in the Titans drafting a full class of guys who could come in and contribute.
Well, I agree. I agree. I think that I'm with you on the quarterback. I mean, to me, it's like you're at 11. If you think one of those top guys is your guy, okay, you can do it. And you could even sort of have – I mean, you could make it work, right? That you could sort of have like the Chiefs season of 2017 with Alex Smith or Ryan Tannehill playing the role of Alex Smith, right?
Well, the only one who has a chance of being there at 11 is Richardson.
And I'm talking about moving up, though.
Oh, moving up, yeah. Well, the thing is, we've talked about this. If you move up, you sacrifice a whole bunch of picks. And if you sacrifice a whole bunch of picks, you lose your chance to replenish a roster that needs a whole bunch of replenishment.
Okay, but
in addition,
but
to
if you think it's your next quarterback who is your franchise quarterback and you start the rookie clock, is that not worth it?
It's probably worth it, but that quarterback comes in and has nobody to throw to and no protection. So he starts in a huge hole. I'd rather fill all of that stuff, get fortified on the offensive line, get some weapons, and do what you need to do to get the quarterback next year. Personally, that's the way I'd do it.
PK, last thing for you here. I have to get your thoughts on the New York Jets hiring Todd Downing as their passing game coordinator.
I just don't there seem to be no consequences for bad results as a coach. I mean, I don't understand it. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, I mean, and Nathaniel Hackett is a draw, I would think Todd Downing would cancel it out some. You know, you hear he's a good play designer, but not a good play caller. But I don't know what that means. I just don't understand how you have the terrible resume body of work that he has and the DUI that's going to get him suspended for 6 games, and you immediately get hired into a pretty good situation. I wish I could work in a business where I could do that badly and do that well.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll react to a little bit of what PK had to say there. Get into the Malik Willis discussion that we had earlier in the show as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Player guests tonight will be Alexander Carrier and Jeremy Lozon, so looking forward to that. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports, and you can tune in to Preds Insiders after Smashville Live tonight. We'll be on at 7.
Nice.
So looking forward to that. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com for joining us in the last segment. He was pretty passionate about the Derek Carr stuff with the Titans. That is a good point. Like, I saw the Rappaport report, and it does just say, are among the teams expected to be interested in Derek Carr. Like, what does that mean? What does that really mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I said this the other day. I mean, I feel like, I don't feel like, pretty confident in saying that when John Robinson was GM, something like that is purely speculative. I suppose, you know, it could change with a GM change. Maybe there's more direct communication with someone like Rappaport. But, but PK's point is well taken. It's exactly how it works a lot of times. You throw out a list of teams that logically could be interested, and then people run with, my team wants this player, even though really there's no substance to that particular report. Rappaport, has
coming up next.
There's plenty of reports that are direct, news. But some of these things like this are really speculative. Keep that in mind. I'm with PK. I can't imagine that they're going to get into the Derek Carr thing.
Just doesn't, to be honest with you, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that would be the direction that they go. So we'll see what happens with Derek Carr on that front. We got into the Malik Willis discussion earlier, Joe, and it's a guy that honestly we've not talked a whole lot about so far this offseason, because I think in a lot of ways he has been an afterthought with Titans fans. What's going to happen with Ryan Tannehill? Do you get involved in any other quarterback conversation? Obviously, they hired a new general manager. There's a whole lot of things going on with the Titans where we've not talked a lot about Malik Willis. But it is an interesting time for him. There is a new general manager. We saw him play last year in a year where he probably had no business seeing the field, but he did, and we saw kind of where he is at the quarterback spot. Josh Dobbs comes in at the end of the year. Will the Titans bring Josh Dobbs back to compete for the backup quarterback spot? There's a lot that's kind of up in the air on the Malik Willis front. What do you make of his position, where he sits this offseason, the options the Titans have, and how to handle the Malik Willis situation moving forward, and what you think that could look like as the offseason goes on here with the Titans?
I'm not optimistic based on what I've seen. I'm also not willing to sit here and say I know for certain where things are going to go with him. I don't know how much better he can get or will get. I actually think there's a ceiling that's not – and he's nowhere close to it. Will he get to it? Will he have the opportunity? The thing in the NFL is, more than ever now, young quarterbacks get sometimes very limited opportunities, and then they are cast aside. And, yeah, in some cases, probably quarterbacks who, with a different path, maybe more time before even getting on the field, could have been a great success story. Jalen Hurts is a great – story of someone who, second round pick. At that point, it's like, what does that mean? What are they trying to do? They don't see him as their starter eventually, right? And I don't know. they had to wait and see what he would become. I mean, he got leaps and bounds better, and now he's a really good starting quarterback in the NFL. And just like PK, I'm not comparing the two players, but I'm just saying there's an example of someone you thought was something and then became something ever. Josh Allen will forever be my example for me of just being wrong on a player and thinking the Bills, when I saw the Bills beat the Titans in Buffalo in 2018, Vrabel's first year, the best play Josh Allen made that day was slowing up so he could get a late hit out of bounds. I was like, this guy's terrible. This a terrible loss to the Titans. I think they'd won three in a row. The Bills were bad. And I was like, that pick is going to be just a disaster. Well, yeah, good analysis by me. So I just think it's silly for anyone to think they know that Malik Willis is hopeless in this league.
I agree with you. Now, I'm also with you where, I mean, I'm not overly optimistic based on what we've seen after the first year. And I think the charge for Malik Willis this offseason should be you need to be able to win the backup quarterback job and to be able to be trusted to run the entire offense when you get in there and to feel good about it. Now, can he do that? I don't know. The Titans also can't plan on that. Like they cannot plan on Malik Willis, in my opinion, being the starting or being the backup quarterback next year. If it happens and he wins the job in camp, that's great. Then I think that's good news on the Malik Willis front next offseason. My guess is if you're the Titans, you go get a veteran quarterback, whether that's Josh Dobbs or somebody else, and that's your plan to be the backup quarterback. And if Malik Willis beats him out in training camp, then so be it. You react after that. But you can't have a situation where, oh, we spent a third-round pick on Malik Willis, so he has to be the backup quarterback, and then Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, and he has to come to the game, and you can't run half of your offense. Like, you just can't do that next year if you're the Titans.
No, and this is why you could look back on their decision to go with a rookie and say, maybe that wasn't the best decision. They did win the game at Houston, and they somehow should have won the game in Kansas City with Malik Willis at quarterback, which is talk about a matchup like of Vrabel's defense against that team. It's incredible, really, how well they defend them. But anyway, no, I mean, I think that you could second guess that, and there's no doubt you cannot have another year where your QB2 has to have this tiny little game plan and you take out entire swaths of it because he's not ready to do it. You can't do it. And if I were the Titans, I would want to re-sign Joshua Dobbs. I would be hopeful that Malik Willis would come back and it would just be, wow, look how many things he's gotten better at, and let him compete. And right now, I would predict that Joshua Dobbs would beat him out for it to be QB2 if it's that matchup. It could be somebody. Maybe you could find somebody better.
Yep.
But I think Joshua Dobbs really acquitted himself well in every way, which he always does, but he hadn't had chances to play in the NFL, and I, for the most part, was really impressed.
I was too, and look, I think it makes a lot of sense if you're the Titans to maybe go that route and bring it back to be the backup quarterback. Now, I would also say, like, if you get to that point and Joshua Dobbs is the better option for backup quarterback next year, well, then what are you doing with Malik Willis? Because, I mean, it's his second year. At that point, he'd be your third-string quarterback. I mean, you broke down the numbers earlier. If you release him, it's not that financially, you know, punitive to you.
It's negligible.
You could try to get him through on your practice squad. Would it happen? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the rest of the league views Malik Willis. Now, he's got a huge arm. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, ability that we think he has there. But how does the rest of the league view him? I have no idea. But if you're in the same spot, you know, by the time training camp ends and Malik Willis, you just don't feel like he could play for you. Like, we're getting close to the point where that kind of tells you everything I think you need to know about Malik Willis.
Yeah.
And his future.
I would think, you know, if they wanted to, you know, to try to sneak him on the practice squad, I think somebody out there would probably take a flyer on him. But, I mean, you're still talking about signing him to your active roster. So, no.
I mean, we got a text that says just keep all three quarterbacks. You could do that, but, you're kind of wasting a roster spot at that point, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'd like to see in the NFL is just for quarterback, let's just have three active, and it doesn't count against the roster. Like, look, watching Christian McCaffrey get handed the ball in the backfield, and that being the passing strategy for the 49ers.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the rule.
It's fun, but just the quarterback position, I'm okay making an exception. Let's just have three quarterbacks, and the third one doesn't count against the roster. That'd be okay.
Yeah. Allen Bellevue says, the backup QB position is so low priority for the Titans right now. Woodside was in purgatory for years. No one was concerned. Well, it worked out. It worked out that Tannehill was healthy, but
you have to be concerned.
It's an important – I mean, look, last year we saw it. Tannehill gets the ankle thing, and you got to be able to have a chance to win a game or two with your backup quarterback. You have to. It's not the top priority. Top priority is supporting your starting quarterback with better blocking and receiving, but it's not no priority. I mean, it's something that they don't want to go through another season like last year where, like you just said, where your backup quarterback is like you have to – dumb things down so much that you can't run your offense.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30 here on the program. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
This, we all have choices to make. This, like right now. The choice is yours. Built by Jared Companies. You have a choice. So when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JaredCompaniesInc.com. Michelle Knezovic is in the questions chair today. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Okay, guys, what would we like to start with today, sports or non-sports?
Sports.
Okay. This sparked a conversation, and I kind of previewed it to you guys a little bit earlier today. Chase and I had this conversation on our show. This is all hypothetical. If you could have, as your quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, who are you choosing?
Man, that's a really good question.
It's become a good question. To me, that would not have been... I don't even know that I would hesitate before the Super Bowl, but it makes me hesitate.
And it's this roster, so
right,
this current Tennessee roster.
I'm still going to go Lamar Jackson. It's close, but I'm going Lamar Jackson.
I think I'm going Lamar Jackson too, but the hesitation I have is, number one, the ball placement from Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl, I thought was really darn good.
It was.
Like, I thought it was really good. And I know they're both running quarterbacks to some degree. Like, Lamar runs around a lot. Jalen Hurts runs around a lot. I think they do it in different ways. Like, Jalen Hurts is more of a power runner.
Right.
And
Lamar Jackson's a big play guy.
So it's different from that perspective. I also think Jalen Hurts, just based on his body type, is a little bit more durable than Lamar Jackson is. Man, I may be talking myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're talking yourself in a
I think Jalen I'm going Hurts. Jalen Hurts. I think I just talked myself into Jalen Hurts.
Okay, I'm going to give Lamar a bit of the edge. I think Jalen, he had a phenomenal year. You mentioned, Robbie, his Super Bowl performance. I think I need to see how he performs, with some adversity. So, right, he had this great year, but you look at that roster top to bottom. I think next year will be a big testament to see, who they're able to keep on this roster. What does his offensive line look like? What does the receiver situation look like? So I think I'm going to give Lamar the slight edge on that. But it's going to be a conversation moving forward.
Hold it real quick. I'd like to see Lamar Jackson with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And
I would like to see that.
That'd be fun.
That was my
argument.
That'd
be nice.
I'd like to see him with two electric wide receivers.
But if he was playing here, you could see him with Cody Hollister and
NWI
and all these different guys.
Jeff Swaim.
Yep.
Let's make sure we get Jeff Swaim in there.
Okay, guys, switching to non-sports. For the rest of your life, you have to pick one of these. You either have to sneeze every single day or have the hiccups every single day for the rest of your life.
Just once a day sneezing?
No, like you do it every hour.
Every hour?
Every hour you sneeze or every hour you get the hiccups?
Well, I mean, I'll still take sneezing. The hiccups are hell. I mean, I don't like sneezing, but like the hiccups? I mean,
Joe's going to be snotting everywhere.
Well, I mean, this is a terrible choice. I mean, you're giving us a terrible life here, okay? But yes, I mean, the hiccups, you know, I have a remedy, which is a huge scoop of mustard, and it usually works for me. But I don't want to do that all the time. No, I'll take the sneezing.
Mustard does have some healing properties, they say.
Yeah, mustard, underrated.
Check it out. It's a very Aaron Rodgers thing of you to say.
I made Valentine's tuna melts last night. And
were they in hearts?
They have no, but they have mustards. But we did have cupcakes with BEE mine on them.
Yeah, very nicely done. Yeah, I'll go sneezing too. Like, this is going to sound really weird. I don't mind sneezing. Like, it doesn't really ever bother me.
Hiccups, kind of feels good sometimes.
Hiccups do bother me from the standpoint. Yeah, it kind of does. From the standpoint of, like, I'll be in, like, mid-sentence saying something, and then all of a sudden it's a, and I'm like, oh, man, what's going on here? It's just ruining my train of thought.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sneezing, although neither one sounds all that fun.
Yeah, they both suck.
Yeah, thanks for this life.
I'm actually going to go, which I can't believe I'm saying this because they frustrate the heck out of me, hiccups. But when I sneeze when I'm driving, I just feel all out of sorts. And I don't like, you know, now since COVID has happened too, I feel like every time you sneeze, people are like, oh my gosh, get away from me. Whereas I feel like the hiccups, you can kind of mask it a little bit and you can be like, you know.
And so, plus you're sneezing in an unsafe vehicle. So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good because your eyes close and you just get all over the place. Okay, guys, switching back to sports. You can have dinner with one athlete, living or dead, and you get to ask them one question.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Okay. Dinner with one athlete, living or dead, ask them one question. Okay. You probably should go because you've thought about this.
Okay. So I would have dinner with LeBron James.
Okay.
And I would ask him how much it pisses him off when everybody has the old man take that says he could never play with, you know, the teams in the 80s and the 90s and he's soft. And, you know, if that actually gets to him and how bizarre it is that people actually think that he couldn't play with them.
Okay. Good. I'd have dinner with Ron Artest, a.k.a. Meta World Peace. And okay. I would ask him what was going through his mind in the Malice of the Palace. What was
Ooh.
That like?
I think I would
just ask him a point blank question. What is going through your mind? And just let it go from there for Ron Artest. Because you never know where that might lead.
Yeah, the conversation, like it's a whole dinner, but what would be, you know, that first.
Is he Ron Artest or is he Meta World Peace? Am I referring to him in the correct term? I don't know.
I think he's Meta World Peace.
I think he's Meta World Peace.
But that's a good one. That's a very good one.
So Meta World Peace is my athlete. I gave strong consideration for Kyler Murray to ask him how much he in fact does play Call of Duty, but I went with Meta World Peace.
Not your guy Aaron?
Nah.
He'd have some interesting answers.
I don't know if I could have dinner with him. It may be too much.
Aaron, can we turn the lights on, buddy?
Aaron,
I can't see my fork.
You know, electricity is a great thing, Aaron.
He's like, you're not seeing the forests and everything right now as he's on his ayahuasca trip.
Yeah, you my top two were Meta World Peace and Kyler Murray. What does that say about me?
You know what's good after this meal, Robbie? A nice big cigarette. All right.
I'm going to go with,
I guess this is kind of morbid, but he died on my birthday. And so when I was younger trying to be a baseball player, I was like, maybe I am the next Roberto Clemente. Mm. I was not. But just Roberto maybe. Clemente, an all-time incredible human, I don't think people recognize how great he was. I think I would just ask him what it was like, you know, the open-ended question of what it was like in this era of your life playing in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
There you go.
Y'all both.
But there's so many great, I mean, there's so many things I'm not thinking of now that I will later.
I know.
You know?
I feel like even me.
Y'all both went with serious questions and answers, and I went with two just totally ridiculous ideas.
No.
Speaks to my maturity level.
No, but you know what? The Artest one, at least, is that would be good. That would be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that up there for me would be Larry Bird, because I want to actually see, you know, what he was like. I mean, we can all gauge.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
That's what I make sure you knew.
Or Charles Barkley, because that would just be a fun time.
Barkley would be a very good choice.
Also, quick story, because we do have a little time before we get to the next question. One time, my dad asked Charles Barkley when he worked for the Sixers what Larry Bird was like. And Larry and Charles' answer was, Larry Bird wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire.
There we go.
I feel like I had to put that in there. Okay, guys, lastly, non-sports. I know Joe will appreciate this because we all know that my movie and TV watching is not up to the standards of this show. What is a movie that you recently watched that is on a Netflix or a Hulu or somebody could watch it tonight? That you would recommend to our audience? I can go first.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I watched it the other day. It's a new one on Netflix. It's called Inheritance. And a little synopsis of it. Basically, this girl's dad dies. And in the will, he gives the brother a bunch of money. And then he gives the daughter just a smaller sum and then a flash drive. And he basically is telling her that he has this secret. And then she has to take care of this man he's kept hostage. It's wild. In the ending, the last scene, I was just sitting there with my jaw dropped of holy freaking plot twist. I'm usually good at predicting the end of movies, but this one, no. So Inheritance on Netflix.
Okay. Mm. Sounds interesting. There's about 100 movies you should have watched before you sat down to watch that, but I'm glad you're watching some movies.
I mean, the only new movie I've watched recently was one that I think just came out with Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon on Netflix. I don't even know what it's called. It was terrible, so I don't recommend that. I mean, I usually watch movies from like 2002, so they're not new. Go watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou if you haven't watched that movie.
That's a great flick. One I would recommend, and I think it's super underrated, and it's Netflix, is The Week Of, which is
Adam Sandler
and Chris Rock. I love that movie. I mean, I think I've watched that movie like four or five times now because I think it's freaking hilarious. And it's like, you guys, this is actually one of Sandler's best movies. But the recent one, Katie and I went to Belcourt Theater to watch The Whale. You know, obviously this is the time of the year where like the Academy Award Best Picture. It is an incredible movie. Also, it is hard to watch, and we got super emotional watching it. It's tough. But Brendan Fraser, for anybody who remembers Brendan Fraser, I think he's up for the Oscar for that. He should be. So I would recommend that but you have to be of a certain mind.
Okay.
Going in. It's heavy. It's heavy.
There we go.
Literally and figuratively.
Well, there we go. This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30. Coming up next, we got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. The Titans, the Preds, everything on the table. We will get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. There are multiple people on the text line, very fascinated with Rex Road, an entire scoop full of mustard.
Try it.
For a remedy.
I mean, if you are... You know, if you're struggling with the hiccups and like holding your breath or whatever isn't working, try it.
Is now, it just normal mustard?
Yeah. Now, if you, I mean, I guess you could do a little
Dijon spicy brown gray poupon, perhaps.
Spicy brown mustard.
You could do that. But if you love mustard, it may not work for you. The whole point is, and again, this has worked for me a lot of times, it gives you this like almost like goes through your body and you have that like, you know, like the bitter beer face.
It's like all of a sudden the smelling salts the Predators do before the game. It just, okay, all right, yeah. Ready to go.
Right. Oops, sorry. Like a bolt of like adrenaline, but like gross adrenaline, if that makes sense. It might work.
May work. We'll see. Got a couple of thoughts on Malik Willis on the text line. Got a texter that says, if the Titans put Malik Willis through to try to get into the practice squad, he would definitely be claimed around the league. I would say I would lean that he would be claimed.
I don't think it's definite. Yeah.
I
mean, again, you're signing someone to your active roster. So, I mean, these roster spots are valuable, and most teams out there will have a QB too. designated already. So, yeah, I would lean to, like, someone would be like, okay, we're going to make this work. Let's take a flyer. There's too much potential there to just ignore this. But I'm not 100% convinced of it.
Well, and the other point is this. Like, if you got to that point with Malik Willis where you got through training camp, you had to make your roster cuts, and whether it's Dobbs or someone else is your backup quarterback, like, if it got to the point where Malik Willis wasn't good enough to win your backup quarterback job in year two, like, would you really care if somebody else picked him up? You probably wouldn't if you're the Titans at that point.
Yeah, right. Like, if he doesn't make the leaps this offseason and then during the spring and camp and everything to be a clear QB2 for you, why are you worried? You can't be worried that he's all of a sudden, a couple years down the road, going to be somebody's starter and just light up the league. It could happen.
It could.
I mean, crazy stories happen in this league, but I wouldn't lose sleep over that.
I got a texter that says, could Josh Dobbs go start for the Bucks or the Panthers, even the Jets, if they don't find anybody?
No.
I don't think so. Like, I don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't either. He's not. I mean, he's helped himself be a backup in the NFL. And I understand, I'm impressed too with what he did in a short period of time here, no doubt. But, I mean, you know, I don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. The arm, the accuracy, those things just have not been up to snuff, and I don't think that's changing at all. The intangibles are tremendous, and this is why I'd want him in my building as QB2, and you know you can plug him in and you got a chance, but he's not a starter.
Shane in the borough says, Willis probably has a better chance of clearing than Tolvanen did. Crying, laughing emoji face. There is
nice.
That.
Let's bring it back to Tolvanen. I like it.
There is that. I don't know. It's a really fascinating discussion with him. I said this earlier too. Like, some of the reaction to Willis this year has been pretty interesting to me from really both sides. Like, there was this weird kind of period when he was starting against Houston and Kansas City where it was like, I saw, now, albeit a very, very limited number of people, but there was the, oh man, yeah. Like, Malik Willis should be the starter, even if Tannehill's back and ready to go. Like, there's just, like, the weird
– that's Titans Facebook.
Obsession, like, protection of Malik Willis. And then there's the other way where it's like he has – like, he should probably just go ahead and hang up his cleats and shoulder pads because he's never going to be worth anything ever again. Like, there are wild extremes on the Malik Willis front that became a little less wild as the season went on and we got more of a sample size of kind of where he's at right now. But – certainly, it's an interesting part of the decision-making for the Titans moving forward.
Yeah, as with most things, you know, somewhere in the middle there is a lot more reasonable way to look at it. Yeah, and look, people were really hoping that he was going to come in, and he did. He made a few throws in the preseason, so it's, you know, you're really hoping. It's like the difference, you only see the preseason games. If you're, you know, if you're out there during camp, for practice every day, then it's very easy to see the huge gap between Tannehill and Willis. It wasn't as easy in preseason where Tannehill doesn't play and Willis does. But, yeah, it's too early right now to just completely abandon any hope that he could be an effective player.
Well, and to your point earlier, like, if things went the way that they probably should have gone this past year with Malik Willis, he would have never seen the field and he wouldn't have played.
There'd be way more talk
and
about
I
him.
I guarantee you what – part of what we would be talking about this offseason is, well, you drafted Malik Willis in the third round last year. Is it time to just move on from Tannehill and let him take over and be the guy moving forward? Now,
except we did see those practices, but yeah, it'd still be a lot easier. It would be much more of a discussion.
It would be way more of a discussion. But we have seen him, and we do have a kind of a baseline of where he's at, and I don't think anybody is even really seriously considering that as an option. Like, I was, you know, kind of thinking through some things to talk about on the show today last night, and I was like, we've barely even spoken Malik Willis's name so far this offseason.
Like, he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it would be. It would be very – the unknown is undefeated, and so were he still an unknown, he'd be much more discussed. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, what do you do if you're him? Like, it's film. It's working on those mechanics because, again, with him, it's like – you'll make these throws, and you're like, ooh, I don't know how many guys can make that exact throw, including some touch throws, not just like a big arm. He drops it in sometimes. You're like, okay, but then it's like, okay, you just had – that's like your basic, you know, out cut, and you sailed it by 3 yards.
Right.
And it happens every third time. You know, So just the mechanical aspect of it, if he can get that figured out, okay, there's a big step. And then there's just everything else about, you know, diagnosing and quick decisions and going through progressions, all that stuff that he didn't have to do in his offense in college.
Well, and like I said earlier, the question that I would want to know from Vrabel that we'll never, I don't think, get the actual answer to is, what does Vrabel think about what he can be? Like, he's been around Malik Willis, both in the games, but on the practice field, in the facility, all these different things. Like, Vrabel has, I think, a pretty good baseline of where Malik Willis is and what he thinks he could be. Like, has Vrabel seen enough to think, okay, well, we could have something here at some point in the future if we continue to work with him and he continues to improve all these different things? Or did Vrabel look around after the first year and say, you know what, I don't see it with Malik Willis? I don't know what the answer is to that, but I would be very fascinated to know what he thinks about him.
Yeah, I assume some of it is, I'm keeping an open mind. Let's see what he's done. Let's see what the work yields. Big C and Franklin, real quick. These people think Willis is starting caliber. Remind me of when Mariota was the next great QB. Sometimes people just want to believe. Again, we're making this comparison to Heisman winner, number 2 overall pick, who actually was a really good player in his second season in the NFL. Not that his second season in the NFL said he is going to be the next great QB, but there's a pretty big difference between these two. Just like earlier when they're talking about Jalen Hurts. I mean, you know, there's a difference in just what you did in college, what some of these guys did compared to Malik Willis.
I look forward to the July press conference before training camp gets kicked off, where we learn that Malik Willis is the offseason award winner for the Tennessee Titans on the offensive side of the ball. Looking forward to that.
That's true. There's going to be a lot, though.
Maybe back-to-back.
Will Radins and Farley win again?
They're both hurt. It's going to be hard.
Well, but you can still work hard when you're hurt.
Major comeback. That's a major comeback.
Caleb Farley was, I guess, technically hurt last offseason. He was rehabbing.
That's right.
So maybe back-to-back.
We need to. You know, there should be betting odds on offseason award winners.
Who will win the offseason award winner or champion for the Tennessee Titans? I don't know. Didn't work out so well last year.
Dennis Daly?
Maybe so. Maybe it's Dennis Daly.
That's my pick.
The leader in the clubhouse. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of the day today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Joe, have yourself a wonderful day.
You too. Absolutely. And you too, Michelle.
Thanks, guys.
Michelle,
you too.
You're up next.
You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.